This is the Jeff Buckley Grace Around the World podcast. On this episode, we visit with Nyla Adams, co-director of the documentary film Amazing Grace, Jeff Buckley.
I had heard of Jeff Buckley before meeting Lori. This was in the 90s, and I was just out of college, and a friend of mine gave me a copy of Grace to listen to, and I didn't even get through the first song. I wasn't into it at all. I was a total grunge head, really into Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and Guns N' Roses. And as soon as I heard Jeff's falsetto, you know, singing at the beginning of Mojo Pin, I just turned the CD off. And it wasn't until years later, like I guess about 5 years later, when I met Lori, that she reintroduced me to Jeff and Grace. And I was really blown away by the emotion coming through the album. And I remember turning off the CD and sitting down and writing a poem. I don't write poetry, so this was a really interesting experience to have. And the next day, I went to Lori and I asked her if this was a common reaction to people who heard Jeff's music. And she began to gush about all the poems and songs and paintings and even sculptures that people had sent to Jeff that were inspired by his music, and how she had fielded all this artwork inspired by Grace. This was sort of the moment where we were like, hey, you know, there may be something here to explore in terms of Jeff opening people up to create and inspiring them to create. And that's sort of where the idea was born, to make a documentary that explored the legacy and the power of the music.
My thumb on your tongue, that shall heal my soul. You have me shaken like a bell on a lover's heart with flow. In the New York summertime,
our roles were sort of overlapping for a long time, but I think by the time the film really got off the ground, I became the technical person. I would shoot the interviews and do a lot of the production planning. We didn't have a production team. It was just Lori and I. So our MO became Lori would interview people and I would deal with the production aspect of it. When the film was completed and we had all the raw footage, the editing process was collaborative, but again, I had to learn how to do the technical editing, learning the software and how to actually edit a film. When we decided to make this film, we made a conscious decision not to seek studio backing, which would have obviously given us some money and we could have had perhaps a larger production team. But one of the reasons why we decided to sort of keep this a very slow, organic production was we didn't want to give up creative control. And we knew that if we got studio backing, they would probably want us to make a biography about Jeff and really focus on his life story. And we were really interested in focusing on the legacy and the power of the music and steering clear from any sort of bio. So we did decide to just take the DIY route and do everything ourselves. And so that's, I think, why the production, I think from start to finish, took about 5 years. We had to save our pennies and buy equipment, and we had to take classes when we didn't know how to do something technically. It was a conscious decision just to take it slow and believe that in the end it would be worth it because we had creative control.
It's been such a long time, and I was just a child then. What will you say when you see my face? Time, it feels like it's flown away.
We didn't know exactly what we were going to find when we began investigating Jeff's legacy. We knew that there was something very powerful to explore because there was a cult following, an international cult following, you know, around Grace and Jeff. And, you know, this is a guy who only had one studio album. And here you are, God, how many? It's been 15 years already. And it's still, it's a benchmark in the music industry for something very unique and special. So at the time when we were producing this, we knew that we wanted to explore the context of the legacy and why people were so deeply touched by Jeff. And what is it about his music that inspired people? You know, I don't think we knew exactly how that was going to play out. The film kind of took us on its own journey and developed its own personality. But we did know that we wanted to talk to people who had been inspired and moved by Jeff. And I think that's what sort of differentiates our film from, say, a typical biography, is that it looks at Jeff Buckley through not only his music and his own interviews, but through the eyes of his fans.
Love, let me sleep tonight on your couch. Remember the smell of the fabric of your simple city dress.
Exploring Jeff's legacy and looking into why his music inspired people and how he touched people so deeply, which is basically the crux of the documentary, I think that something very unique and special about Jeff is that he puts it all out there. And I think that sometimes people look to musicians to express or put voice to their own feelings and emotions. And when you listen to Jeff sing, or you know, you're listening to one of his songs, you can really hear his pain and his passion and his struggles. It's all there. It's all in his voice. It's in his song. And it's a very vulnerable place for a musician to go. And I think this really strikes a chord with people. It's cathartic for them. It cracks them open a little. And, you know, when an artist can encapsulate raw, sincere emotion inside beautiful music, they create something universal or timeless that sustains itself through all the shifting musical trends of the day. And I think that's why Jeff has appealed to so many people for so long. I think that for Lori and I, we were very aware of the need to strike a delicate balance between asking people, you know, some tough questions about Jeff and about his life and the circumstances around his death. But also at the same time, we wanted to remain sensitive to the fact that people were still suffering emotionally. You know, Lori is a very sensitive person and had a very strong connection to Jeff personally. And I think that really helped us keep that balance, because she was very much aware of what would be too much because of her own emotional barometer while making the film. Lori and I, when we were making the film, we knew that we had to address Jeff's death directly. There were a lot of questions circulating out there about the nature of his death and what had really happened. And I think we both wanted to make it very clear that Jeff's death was an accident, and that there wasn't a lot of weird, spooky stuff going on in, you know, on the day that he drowned. And it was important for us to ask his friends and his, you know, the members of his band, you know, we wanted to ask people directly had they spoken to Jeff before he died? We spoke to Fody, who was his friend that was with him, you know, the day that he went swimming. And we talked to Fody very frankly about what had happened. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that fans had some insight into what Jeff's state of mind was right before he died and where he was. And the day that he died, his entire band had flown in. They were about to start re-recording the second album, and he had just bought a house. So he was very excited to be alive and be engaged. And I think we really wanted to sort of set aside all these rumors and kind of move beyond the mystique of Jeff's death and kind of address it head on rather than gloss over it and let those rumors continue. The initial spark for me even getting involved in this film and making this with Lori was my reaction to listening to Grace, was sitting down, listening to this album that made me cry, and sit down and write a poem, and opened up a part of me that I hadn't accessed in a long time. And I think what I came away realizing about Jeff is that he did for me what he's done for so many other people, which is through the emotion and the vulnerability that comes through in his music, he pulled something out of me, and it was a cathartic experience for me. And I think that when I listen to his music, you know, I feel that there's somebody out there who understands and who gets the pain and struggle and also the passion and excitement, you know, of being human. It's much less about him as a person per se, and much more about what he channels through his music that I can really appreciate and relate to.
There's the moon ashing to stay long enough for the clouds to fly me away. But it's my time coming, I'm not afraid to die.
For more information on the documentary film Amazing Grace, Jeff Buckley, be sure to check out the special deluxe package Grace Around the World at jeffbuckley.com.